Hey, welcome to the Ritz Report. I am Alex Ritz. It is Thursday, November 4th, and it's time to get the party started. Oh, yeah. Welcome. Thanks for joining me today on the Ritz Report. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to be here with me. It is much appreciated. Please check me out on the socials at Ritz Report on Twitter and Instagram. Also, you can check me out on my blog, ritzreport.com. You can send me notes of adoration and love or pure hatred to my email, ritz@ritzreport.com, and my locals page, which isn't much to speak of yet, but I'm working on it. It'll be better in the future. You have my word. ritzreport.locals.com. So what are we talking about today? We are talking about the Biden administration and their push on vax mandates. We all knew this was going to happen. They announced it in September, and today the rules came down. You thought maybe Tuesday would make a difference where they saw Virginia, they got an ass kicking. In Jersey, they almost lost it, but nope. They're going to double down on their insanity. We're also going to talk about the elections from Tuesday, New Jersey, Virginia, New York City, what happened out in Minnesota. We're going to talk COVID. We're going to hear some quotes from our fearless leader, Plugs, a.k.a. Joe Biden. And we're going to do the woke word of the day. Because it's always fun to do the woke word of the day. But to start, let's start with the Biden administration announcing a mandate that employers with over 100 workers must have their employees vaccinated by January 4th or do weekly testing where they face something like, I don't know, $14,000 per violation. Yeah, that seems reasonable. $14,000 per violation. This is going to impact some 80 million employees. Like, this guy's out of his mind.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Yes. Yes, he is one pathetic loser. From the Wall Street Journal, many employers will have to ensure that by January 4th, their workers are vaccinated or tested weekly for COVID-19. Now, we all know, right? This whole testing thing is sort of a nice way to try to wiggle out of what they're actually trying to do. But most employers are going to be like, come on, just get the shot. Under a set of new vaccine requirements by the Biden administration that will cover more than 80 million employees. The requirements, released Thursday by the Labor Department, implement a vaccine directive that President Biden announced in September. They apply to employers with more than 100 employees. While the administration has said that the requirements are necessary to curb the COVID-19 pandemic, they have drawn opposition from many Republicans. Do we honestly believe that it's to curb the COVID-19 pandemic? There's a thought question for you. We now know that the vaccine doesn't stop transmission and it doesn't stop infection. So are we curbing the COVID-19 pandemic? What exactly is going on here? This, like I said in my last podcast, it's not about health. It's about power. It is about control. If it was about health, we'd be talking about two things. Number one, natural immunity, right? Which we've known about for a really long time. And this is the only time in human history that we've ignored it. And therapeutics. How are we almost 2 years in and there are no therapeutics? And this is creeping authoritarianism, right? So they announced it in September. They announced the OSHA rules today. And then after they announced those OSHA rules today, later on, in the day today, the Biden administration emergency COVID-19 vaccination requirements released today could be expanded. So this is a new story that came out after the announcement earlier. Could be expanded in the future to employers who have fewer than 100 workers. So do we honestly think that they're not going to? They're not going to apply this to companies with fewer than 100 workers? This is everything that they do, right? They announce something and said, we're thinking about that. And then they give it a couple of weeks or they give it a couple of months and then they do it. And then something else comes along and they're like, yeah, we're thinking about that. And then they give it a week, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, and then they do it. This is creeping authoritarianism. They just keep moving the goalposts a little bit further down the field because they want to get people to do what they want. And just so it's really clear in everybody's head, the guy that we're talking about who really wants to do all of this stuff, this is him.
I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun.
This is the guy.
And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool.
Vaccine
and
mandates.
My leg down, so it was trained, and then watch the hair come back up again.
This is the guy.
They look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
That's the guy who wants to get a shot in your arm.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. When you think about it.
Yeah, that's the guy. And now with the approval of the vaccine for ages 5 through 7, right, everybody's really excited about it. Oh boy, I can get my kids vaccinated for this thing that they're in no risk of, and they're more risk of dying in a car accident, but I can get it for them anyway. This is the guy.
We cannot let this, we've never allowed any crisis from the Civil War straight through to the pandemic of 17, all the way around 16. We have never let our democracy sake second fiddle, way that we can both have a democracy and elections and at the same time correct the public health.
That's the guy who wants to do this to you, to your kids, whether you work for a company with over 100 employees, under 100 employees, it's coming for you. They're coming for everybody. They're definitely coming for the kids. They're going to make it mandated in the schools. It is going to be across the board so no one can escape. What they don't want is a control group who didn't get this shot. Right? So if there are adverse reactions in the future, because nobody has any idea what this means for adults or kids, they want to be able to say there is no control group, everybody's in the same boat, and they have plausible deniability. Plausible deniability. That's what Joe Biden wants. It is infuriating. It's upsetting. It's unbelievable that this clown is the president of the United States. But he is, that somehow the Democrat Party got him pushed across the finish line, and we are stuck with this loser until either he dies or he's out of office, one or the other. It's just unbelievable. Let's move on. The election outcomes in Virginia and New Jersey. Kamala Harris made a little prediction right before the Terry McAuliffe devastating loss. Let's listen to that.
Because you see, what happens in Virginia will in large part determine what happens in 2022, 2024, and on.
CNN is projecting that Republican Glenn Youngkin has been elected governor of Virginia, defeating Democrat Terry McAuliffe.
Are you kidding me?
It is sort of delicious to listen to them, like, losing their minds. If you were watching on election night, if you were, like, switching around channels, MSNBC and CNN, to watch how they were completely losing their mind. But Kamala's correct, right? She finally said something that's true, that's accurate, that doesn't make her look dumb, that what happens in Virginia is going to predict what happens in 2022 and 2024. And I think she's right. I think she's right. Right? If we look at Virginia, Virginia swung 12 points in 1 year, right? Biden won that state by 10 points, and then Youngkin picked up two more. 12 points in 1 year. What's even more shocking to me is New Jersey, where nobody expected anything of any sort to happen. But New Jersey swung 16 points in 1 year from a guy who had no money, no name recognition, and he almost knocked out Murphy. Murphy, who is a complete and utter loser.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
And Murphy, the guy who says, you know, if you're interested in being in a low-tax state, Virginia's not the place for you. Way to, like, incentivize people to come there, dude. Way to go. That's really what you want to do. New York City, we picked up Eric Adams. I'm in New York City. So we picked up Eric Adams as the new mayor of New York City as of January 1st. Everybody keeps saying that there's no way he can be as bad as Bill de Blasio. But I got to tell you, I don't know. The jury's out, right? Here's a guy who was a police officer in NYC for over 20 years, and no cop would support him. No cop would support him. Like, what does that tell you about the guy? And something about watching him debate, he just seems so disingenuous. There seems something about him that's just not authentic. So while I'm in New York and I really, really pray that this guy does the right thing and he means what he says and he's going to try to clean up the streets and he's going to, you know, do the right thing, the jury's out. We're going to have to hope that he actually follows through on what he said, because I don't know. He doesn't give me a warm and fuzzy, folks. He doesn't give me a warm and fuzzy. In Minnesota, Speaking of police, in Minnesota, defund the police went down in flames. It shows you the sorry state of affairs, right, that really the country is in, that we actually have to discuss with any level of seriousness defunding the police. I mean, who comes up with the idea, like, you know what, we think the cops are bad, and we think that they're the reason that people are being killed on the street. I think we need no cops. Like, I don't know how that logic works or how you get there, but these lunatic leftist woke morons somehow in their brain, in their tiny little brains with like three synapses that are firing, somehow they get to that result. But across the board, right? New Jersey, Virginia, out in Minnesota, in Seattle, they got a Republican prosecutor. Across the board, the adults in the room stood up and said, okay, kids, you've been having your fun for the last, you know, year and a half, whatever it is. You've been having your fun. You've been destroying cities, burning down police stations. You set up CHAZ. You did all this fancy stuff that you wanted to do, kids. Okay, now it's time to shut up and let the parents who pay all the bills, now it's time for us to speak. And they did, right? All these riots, all these woke morons around the country who are not making things better for anybody. They're making things worse across the board. BLM's making things worse across the board. The parents stood up. The adults in the room stood up and said, enough, enough. You're not going to sit and tell me that I can't know what's going on in my child's classroom. You're not going to sit and tell me after I see you teaching CRT that you're not. You're not going to sit and tell me that I don't know what CRT is because it's too complicated and they only teach it in college. And you're not going to tell me that once I figure out that you are teaching CRT and I go to protest the school board because of it, that you're going to send a letter to the Attorney General of the United States and have the FBI investigate me as a domestic terrorist. Sorry. It's not going to happen. And most of this was moms standing up. Most of this was moms standing up saying, enough, you're not doing this to my kids. I want them learning reading, writing, and arithmetic. They don't need to know who's the oppressor and who's the oppressed. They don't need to know that they have some plan in front of them for their future because of the color of their skin. That's not the way it works, right? We need to get back to what Martin Luther King wanted, right? We're looking at the content of someone's character, not the color of their skin, where the left is obsessed with the color of your skin. It's all they talk about. A lot of Democrats, I don't think, really, really understand what happened on Tuesday. They're looking at it and they get angry and they're infighting. But the ones that have some intellect, the ones that can step back and actually say, hey, something happened here. Van Jones is one of those guys. I don't agree with him on anything, but he's not a dummy. He's not reactionary. He thinks through what he's going to say and what he's going to do. I'm not sure that the party in any way, his party, the Democrat Party, which now is, you know, infiltrated with communists and Marxists. I'm not sure that the party would listen to him and his reasoning, but he was on CNN after this loss, and let's listen to what he said.
This is a big deal. These numbers are bad. This is not some, these are our voters. These are voters that came to us in 2018, came to us in 2020, and have abandoned us in droves in two states that should be in our column. That's a big deal. That is a five alarm fire.
He's right on the money. It is a five alarm fire. The question is, will the rest of the, you know, Democrat Party, certainly not the AOC wing of the party, is not going to listen to him, right? They're not going to listen to him. But what's interesting listening to him is that he is saying that his party needs to change. It almost makes me think that he doesn't really fully comprehend. He doesn't appreciate it to the depth that he should. What has happened to that party? The party is no longer the party of Clinton, which is what he compares it to. And he says, you know, that's how Clinton saved himself. Let's listen to that.
Bill Clinton was able to turn his ship around and survive after the shellacking in 94 by doing a lot of small stuff that just lets you know he was on your side. He was talking about school uniforms. Yeah. He was talking about V-chips for cookies. He was talking about all kinds. But you know what? For ordinary folks, that guy cares about me. That guy understands what I'm going through. If this party doesn't wake up tomorrow morning and figure out how can we run back to regular folks and regular folks' issues. Now, some stuff we've been talking about is good stuff. Helping grandmas, helping kids. But it's been buried. It's been lost in this cold, big D.C. conversation about trillions of dollars. We've got to, both from a legislative point of view and from a messaging point of view, start re-signaling to ordinary folks that we get it. Otherwise, look, we're a year out from the Trump election, on the looking back, and you're a year away from the midterms looking forward. You see how much stuff can turn in 12 months. That's the good news. People want to participate. That's the good news. But we've got to take this message very, very seriously tonight.
And his party's taking the wrong message, right? Look what happened on Tuesday, and look what the plan is moving forward. Immediately, right? Right after they lost in Virginia, almost lost in New Jersey, immediately they come out with additional mandates, right? You don't think it's a coincidence that these mandates from OSHA are coming out 2 days after the election. No, that's not a coincidence, right? They held it over because they know it's wildly unpopular to mandate that the American people do anything, right? This is not how this country works. The President of the United States doesn't sit up there on high and mandate that people do anything. Never happened before in my lifetime, right? And you're going to say, oh, COVID's different, right? COVID is different because it's a public health issue. We've covered it on almost every podcast, right? Survivability rate from this infection. The numbers of people dying do not justify what the federal government, state governments are trying to do. They don't justify it. We'll run through it quick, right? 0 to 19 years old, 99.9973% survival rate. 99.9973. Ages 20 through 29, 99.986. 30 through 39, 99.963. 40 through 49, 99.918. 50 through 59, 99.973. 60 through 69, 99.41. So we're talking probably 1-2 people out of every 1,000 who get sick, who may end up in the hospital. So what they are doing is not justified based on the numbers. It's also not justified where they push these vaccines on kids, right? And they compare it to MMR. They compare it to all of these other diseases that kill kids, right? This doesn't kill any kids. San Francisco just instituted a mandate for the 5 through 7 year olds and people under 20. You know how many people under 20 have died in San Francisco? Zero from COVID. Zero over the entire pandemic. Yet we have to mandate that they have a vaccine. For what? For what? What is the purpose of that? So Dems, like I said, they still don't get it, right? Van Jones gets it. I don't think he has the clout within the party to move the party where he is. In a way, it's good, right? Because they're going to continue on this path, thinking now we need to pass $4 trillion in spending, and now we need to mandate even more, and now we need to push down on these people even harder. And I mean, it's already a losing situation, right? You just saw what happened: a 12-point swing in Virginia, a 16-point swing in New Jersey, and that's just two states. Who knows what's going to happen? Another year of this nonsense? There are those that are arguing that, you know, they lost in these two states because they couldn't get Biden's bills, his Build Back Better bill and his infrastructure bill through Congress. And that's why these people voted the way they did. I think that's absurd. I think that the reason the people voted the way they did is because, especially in Virginia, I mean, they ticked parents off, ticked them off. Parents saw what was being taught to their kids during Zoom schooling. And they tried to stand up and do something about it, and they called them racist and sick the FBI on them. What do you think is going to happen? But Biden was asked about this yesterday. He came out yesterday and had a press conference. He actually had a press conference where he took maybe six questions. And they asked him, do you think that some of this is because of the fact that you didn't get these bills through Congress?
People are upset and uncertain about a lot of things, from COVID to school to jobs to a whole range of things, and the cost of the gallon of gasoline. And so if I'm able to sign into law my Build Back Better initiative, I'm in a position where you're going to see a lot of those things ameliorated quickly and swiftly. And so that has to be done.
Okay, so that's nonsense, right? Has anything ever happened with the government quickly and swiftly, right? He wanted to put a plan in place to get people vaccinated via OSHA. That took 2 months. That took 2 months. So don't tell me you're going to pass the Build Back Better plan. But a bigger point is, right, he speaks to COVID in there. He speaks to job insecurity. He speaks to gas prices. He speaks to schools. Everything except COVID. Every one of those issues except COVID, he created it. When he came into office, none of those issues existed. We had the Keystone Pipeline. We were energy independent. There were no issues with energy. He shut it all down. Now we have gas prices through the roof, and we're energy dependent on other people again. Job insecurity. Now you're mandating vaccines for people who don't want to get them, and if they don't get them, they're fired. Who's introducing job insecurity? The moron in the White House. Education. The reason that we've shut down schools when we know COVID is not a risk to kids is because of Democrat morons in Democrat cities and states who want to shut things down. When you have red states like Governor Ron DeSantis who keep their states open, what happens to the kids? Are they dying left and right? Are we watching caravans of caskets go down the road? No, we're not. Because he looks at the actual data and says, there's no risk here. We're not doing this. We're not closing schools because they are at no risk. One of the things about the press conference yesterday that's really, really, when you watch these press conferences and these people stand up and ask these questions, you wonder, if you were like a true journalist and you were trying to get to the actual information that's true, you wouldn't ask some of these questions that they're asking. If you were a propagandist and you were pushing a narrative, you would ask the questions that these people are asking. So PBS reporter, I just got to play this for you because it's it speaks volumes to the people that are sitting in that room. PBS reporter, I think her name is Yamichi Alcindor, right? She always stands up. She's always got some ridiculous question. But her question yesterday stood out to me as just like classic fake news. Classic fake news. The narrative that she wants to push is in the question. Let's listen to that.
What's your message, though, for Democratic voters, especially Black voters, who see Republicans running on race, education, lying about critical race theory, and they're worried that Democrats don't have an effective way to push back on that?
What is your message to Democrat voters, especially Black voters, because Republicans are pushing race and education and lying about critical race theory? Okay, so let's just review quickly. Let's review, right? Virginia. Glenn Youngkin won the governorship, right? He's the new governor, Glenn Youngkin, right? White guy. Then the lieutenant governor, right? A Black female who is a former Marine and she's from Jamaica. Okay, so that's really racist, right? We elected a Black female because, you know, we're just trying to cover up the fact that we're really, really racist and this maybe will hide it. But then a Hispanic attorney general. I guess the Black female wasn't enough, so we need to cover it up even more with a Hispanic attorney general because we're really deep down just racists, just total racists. Then you had Joy Reid on MSNBC like having a complete meltdown saying the fact that she couldn't understand the exit polls, right? That none of the people who were polled on their way out of the polls said that COVID was a big concern of theirs. Their concern, the reason they came out was because of education. So she translates that as, oh, they don't want their kids learning about Black people and racism. I mean, you almost can't make it out. You almost have to give her props for being such a tool. But they're paying her a lot of money to actually go on TV and make a fool of herself. It's unbelievable. I wouldn't be able to do that job. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I had to work at like an MSNBC or CNN. I wouldn't be able to look myself in the mirror. I'd be like, oh my God, you're literally like trying to run society down. She's happy to do it. Anyway, that was the question. So here is Biden's response to that question, which sort of meanders and it doesn't really get there, but that's sort of typical Biden.
I'm convinced that if you look at everything from my view on criminal justice system to my view on equal opportunity to my view on economic issues and all the things that I have and what I've been pushing in legislation, each of the elements are overwhelmingly popular.
Popular.
We have to speak to them.
Speaking
we have to
them.
Speak to them and explain them. Look. I just think people are at a point, and it's understandable, where there's a whole lot of confusion.
We're confused.
Everything from, are you going to ever get COVID under control?
COVID.
To, are my kids going to be in school?
Go, Brandon.
Are they going to be able to stay in school?
Go, Brandon.
To whether or not I'm going to get a tax break that allows me to be able to pay for the needs of my kids and my family.
Ugh, blather. Just, okay, that's enough. This is it's blather. Blather, right? It's 40 years in Washington. His brain is rotted. It's blather. It's completely meaningless. Blather, blah, 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 Right? He is just like clueless, meandering, looking, it's just searching in vain for some thought to stick with the next thought, to stick with the next thought, to try to hopefully make a sentence that makes any sort of sense whatsoever. He finished the press conference with Peter Doocy from Fox News. And we've all heard this story now that the Biden administration plans to pay illegal immigrants who came across during the Trump administration and were separated. We're going to pay each of them $450,000. So Peter Doocy stood up to ask the president, quote-unquote, about this. And let's listen to that exchange. It's actually very revealing. The video is even more revealing. If you can jump on YouTube and see it, it's actually more revealing because he looks totally puzzled when he gets this question, like he doesn't know what Peter Doocy's talking about.
Mr. President.
This ought to be good.
I think so, too. About the way forward, Mr. President. As you were leaving for your overseas trip, there were reports that were surfacing that your administration is planning to pay illegal immigrants who are separated from their families at the border up to $450,000 each, possibly $1 million per family. Do you think that that might incentivize more people to come over illegally?
If you guys keep sending that garbage out, yeah, but it's not true.
So this is a garbage report?
Yeah.
Okay. So
$450,000 per person. Is that what you're saying?
Stop right there. He's asking $450,000. That's what you're saying? He has no idea what Peter Doocy's talking about. None. He's looking at Peter Doocy like, are you out of your mind? And he's saying that's the kind of garbage you guys are putting out, meaning Fox News. Like, this is not garbage, Biden. Plugs. Whatever you want to be called. It's not garbage. Let's finish the clip.
Separated from a family member at the border under the last administration.
That's not going to happen.
Not going to happen. That's not going to happen, says Joe. He's standing up there. He's like, no, that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. And then today in the New York Post, ACLU suggests Biden's out to lunch over the $450,000 migrant separation payouts. President Biden may not have been fully briefed about the actions of his very own Justice Department, the ACLU charged Wednesday, after he labeled as garbage a news report that his administration is considering $450,000 per person payouts to families separated after illegally crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. So the ACLU fires back and says, hey, listen there, plugs, Biden, whoever whatever you want to be called, old age home resident, we're damn right doing $450,000 per person who was separated at the border, regardless of what you say. And then there's Biden like, what are you saying? $450,000? That's not happening. It's garbage. In fact, I'm accusing you of making it up. Oh, you can't make it up, folks. You can't make it up. If you wanted to pick a guy to run your lemonade stand where every glass of lemonade was a dollar, you wouldn't pick Biden because he couldn't do it properly. Let's quickly move on to COVID before we wrap up here. I don't want to be too long in your ear. I try to do anywhere between 30 and 40 minutes, but let's move on to COVID. COVID, COVID, COVID. COVID is a never-ending story, right? So we now have maybe a tide turning. I see like little things in the press that look to me like potentially there is some people on the left that are starting to say, okay, what we're doing here needs to stop. Bill Maher, actually, is one of them. Let's take a quick listen to what he said about it.
I'm not sure what the latest Dr. Fauci thing was on Halloween. He's changed his mind a lot, but I think it was go and do it. I hope so, because it certainly has been my position since the beginning of this. Just resume living. Come on, the 15 of 100,000, that's where we are cases in California, 15 cases per 100,000 people. I know some people seem to not want to give up on the wonderful pandemic, but you know what? It's over. There's always going to be a variant. You shouldn't have to wear masks. I haven't had a meeting with my staff since March of 2020.
So Bill gets it, right? He's looking around and he sees like, okay, this is never going away. We're going to have to live with it. It's endemic now. So why don't we try to move on with our lives and do the right thing? And then you have, oh no, you have Dr. Fauci. Alex, I don't know. Alex, I don't know if you can go out Maybe you can see your family. Maybe you can't. Yes, no, maybe so. We'll see what the data says. But, oh, I don't know. We'll have to go test some bats. The Batwoman and I, we're having dinner. We'll talk about it. Right? You get the idea. So there's Bill Maher. And then Newsweek has a piece, an opinion piece called How Fauci Fooled America. How Fauci Fooled America. This piece would never have run 12 months ago. Never. So this is from Newsweek. It says, when the pandemic hit, America needed someone to turn to for advice. The media and the public naturally looked to Dr. Anthony Fauci. God, he's so great. The director of the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Disease, an esteemed laboratory immunologist, and one of President Donald Trump's COVID advisors. Unfortunately, Dr. Fauci got major epidemiological and public health questions wrong. Reality and scientific studies have now caught up with him. And they list key issues here. So here are the key issues that the writers of this piece, and the writers are Martin Kulldorff, PhD. He's an epidemiologist, biostatistician at the Harvard Medical School. And Jay, and I don't know how to say this last name, but anyway, he's the professor of health policy at Stanford University School of Medicine. Both are senior scholars at the newly formed Brownstone Institute. So they claim that they believe Dr. Fauci got the following key issues wrong. One, natural immunity. Right? By pushing vaccine mandates, Dr. Fauci ignored naturally acquired immunity along with COVID recovered. There are 45 million people in the United States who've had COVID and recovered from it. Mounting evidence indicates that natural immunity is stronger and longer lasting than vaccine-induced immunity. Long-term trends are still unclear. A recent study reached the opposite conclusion, but was criticized by its author. In a study from Israel, the vaccinated were 27 more times more likely to get symptomatic COVID. The vaccinated were 27 more times more likely to get symptomatic COVID than the unvaccinated who had recovered from a prior infection. We have known about natural immunity from disease at least since the Athenian plague in 430 BC. 430 BC. And that's when I say to you, like, this is not about health. Don't think for a second that it's about health. It has nothing to do with health. When you see things like that, that we've known this since 430 BC and we're just ignoring it, you know something is very wrong. Point two they make is protecting the elderly. While anyone can get infected, there's more than a thousand-fold difference in mortality risk between the young and the old. We've known this since the beginning. We've known this since the beginning. School closures are point number three. Schools are a major transmission point for influenza, but not for COVID. While children do get infected, the risk for COVID death is minuscule, lower than we already know at the risk of dying from the flu. Right? This also we have known. Right? Like, these are all things that we've known for a long time, and people continue to just ignore them. Next point, masks. The gold standard of medical research is randomized trials, and there have now been two on COVID masks for adults. For children, there is no solid scientific evidence that masks do anything. A Danish study found no statistically significant difference between masking and not masking when it came to the coronavirus infection. Next point, contact tracing. For some infectious diseases such as Ebola and syphilis, contact tracing is critically important. For a commonly circulating viral infection such as COVID, it is a hopeless waste. And the last point they make, collateral public health damage. A fundamental public health principle is that health is multidimensional. The control of a single infectious disease is not synonymous with health. As immunologist Dr. Fauci failed to properly consider and weigh the disastrous effects of lockdown that they would have on cancer detection, treatment, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, childhood vaccination rates, mental health, and opioid overdoses. Like I said, this piece, How Fauci Fooled America, would not have run a year ago. They would not have run it. To finish off on the light side here, folks, because we're, what, 35 minutes in. To finish off on the light side here, let's do our woke word of the day. Oh, hi, I'm your beta male, and I'm here to share your woke word of the day, which today is climate justice. Climate justice. Oh, how sweet. Oh, just saying climate justice makes me feel good. The definition for climate justice is the act of living in mud huts and eating bugs until the cancer of humanity is extinguished and Mother Gaia can live on. This has been your woke word of the day. And that is going to do it for me, folks, for this Thursday, November 4th, 2021. Don't forget, the guy in charge, plugs, he's the guy.
Come on, man.
How about this one?
We have to take care of the cure. That will make the problem worse no matter what.
How about this one?
And by the way, it's cost a lot of money. It cost about $740 billion over 10 years.
It's the guy in charge, right? You put your faith in this guy.
We choose truth over facts.
And that's it, folks. That's going to do it for me. I'll be here next Tuesday. Every Tuesday and Thursday, I'm here spreading truth, justice in the American way, because Superman bailed on us because he needed to be more woke. I actually have a piece here from the New York Post that Superman's now bisexual. Oh, what is the left doing to this country? They like literally want to like throw it in a ditch and bury it. So he bailed on us, so he wanted to be more woke, so somebody has to spread the American way. So I am stepping into the void. I'm stepping into the breach, young men. Do me a favor, please subscribe to this podcast, and when you listen, if you like it, please give it a 5-star review and share it with your friends. Share it with your friends who are informed. Share it with your friends who are uninformed. They walk around staring at the carpet. They're talking to walls. Their dog is smarter than they are. They need this podcast to become more informed. Nothing wrong with being more informed. Check me out on social, Twitter, and Instagram, Ritz Report. Also, Locals, ritzreport.locals.com. And like I said, it's a little rough right now. It's looking a little Section 8, but we're working on it. It's going to be better. And finally, you can check out the blog, ritzreport.com, where I post things from time to time. That's going to do it for today. And until next time, let's go, Brandon.